today on Real Radio.
And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren." By the way, the reference actually is the Jewish people. Do you know that? My brethren. He's referring to the Jews. Interesting. You'd think Christians. That's not what the context of the chapter means.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. And within this collection of lessons, Pastor Jack is delivering a mini-series, if you will, that takes a look at one of the essentials of our faith, and that is the second coming. Now, Scripture teaches that the Messiah will come riding in on a donkey, but it also says that he will come in the clouds of heaven. Well, as we're learning, it's not an either-or, it's a both-and. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing in his mini-series called What Christians Believe About the Return of Jesus Christ.
There's a lot of talk right now about securing the borders of America and, for that matter, for the world. And what a smart idea. Think about it. I believe that Satan is going to capitalize on all this terrorism. I don't mean by blowing stuff up and messing up economies and scaring people. I think the goal is to so shake the stability of the world and its security measures that it's going to prove to be extremely advantageous to every nation to have their citizens marked so that you can traffic all over the world as long as you've got your number. For example, did you know Costco? Did you know Costco, when you go to Costco, did you know that the Costco Corporation spends a quarter of what, say, Albertson spends on fraud? Why? Why does Albertsons pay 3/4 of amount of damages and lawsuits and stuff against people who have ripped them off for fraudulent activity versus Costco? How come? Anybody want to take a wild guess? How come? Exactly. Membership. You got a number. You got a card. I got news for you. You can have $1,000 in your pocket, cold hard cash. You're not going to get in to Costco, and you're not going to be able to buy anything without their number. Because I got one. I got the card. I don't have the $1,000 in my pocket. Is it interesting that I have in my office an injectable microchip that when I scan the scanner over it, it gives me a number that's in the back of the neck of the dog? Well, isn't it interesting that racehorses, thoroughbreds, they put this and they keep the medical records of these horses. Many Marines and U.S. Navy SEALs have implantable chips in them. Thousands of them. I've seen them. I've had a chance to feel them. Why? Security measures. Spectacular. It's fantastic. Works great. By the way, the next thing you're going to see is your check-in baggage. Your check-in baggage will soon have that strap that goes around your bag that says, you know, Houston or wherever you're going, that strap's going to become electronic. That piece of paper is going to become an electronic piece of paper. And it's going to have a disposable wafer in there with all of who you are, what time you checked in, where you live, whatever they want will go on that thing. And they'll know exactly whose bag that is and if you're sitting in the seat or not. It's fantastic. Satan's going to use it. Number 5, Jesus Christ in his second coming will establish his throne upon the throne of David. Jesus Christ must sit upon the throne of David. He has to sit upon the throne of David. And the throne of David is in Jerusalem. Jesus has yet to sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. How do we know Jesus Christ has got to come back to earth in the second coming? He must sit upon the throne of David. You know what? We're so short on time. I'm going to give you some verses. You can look them up later. John 1:49 says so. John 1:49, John 12:13 says so. Revelation 22:16 says that Jesus will do so. 1 Kings 2:45 says so. And of course, an upcoming Christmas favorite, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6-7 says, of the increase of his government and the peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, he will establish his kingdom. Jesus must sit upon the throne of David. Number six, why is the second coming so important? Because Jesus Christ will come to judge the nations of the world. Revelation 19, 16 says, it is Christ Jesus who has a name written on his vesture and on his thigh, written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 2 Timothy 4, 8 says, finally, Paul says, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me. Jesus Christ will judge the nations of the world. He must do so, and that will happen in the second coming. And boy, that's what much of Matthew chapter 25 is all about. Listen to this. This is what's going to happen at the second coming, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes, Jesus is speaking, in all of his glory and all of his holy angels with him, then he will sit upon the throne of his glory, the throne of David, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come ye my blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, and I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? And when did we see you thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you sick or in prison and we did come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. By the way, the reference actually is the Jewish people. Do you know that? My brethren, he's referring to the Jews. Interesting. You'd think Christians. That's not what the context of the chapter means. You did it unto me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you did not give me any food, and I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink, and I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked, nor did you clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer and say unto him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, naked, sick or in prison, and we did not minister to you? Then he will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous shall enter into life eternal. He will come again to judge the nations of the world. Number seven, he will restore the environment. Now this cracks me up, because every hippie, they're still hippies at heart. You know, we call them tree huggers today. I mean, they'll kill somebody to save a tree. You know what I'm talking about? They'll kill a human being to save a tree. They'll sacrifice themselves, man. They get in a little raft and they go in front of some big oil freighter and they get run over by a ship and get killed and to save a whale. I mean, I love whales. I think personally, Christians, in my opinion, we should be the greatest custodians of the earth. Our God made it. There's no doubt about it. And animal life, I think Christians appreciate animal life more than anybody. The cool thing is we don't worship it. The Bible says, watch out in Romans chapter 1 for those who forget about God and worship the creation more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. You know? We're seeing a wonderful revolution take place in the scientific world. Many, it's huge now, huge. Many scientists are no longer evolutionists. They're not Christians, but they're not evolutionists anymore. They're holding to the intelligent design theory. That's what they call it. Intelligent design theory. It's up to us to convince them who the intelligent designer is. But they can't hold on to Darwinianism anymore, and evolution is scientifically bankrupt. Well, the cool thing is when Jesus Christ comes back, You read this stuff in the Bible about how he's going to come back and restore the environment when he comes. You would think if you are a tree hugger or a whale lover or whatever, you know, thing is, and that's what you're living for, man, you need to know Jesus. You need to find a life through Jesus. And then realize that the very creator of the whales and the dolphins and the, all that stuff, you know, he's going to come back and he's going to fix it all. That's the only way it's going to get fixed. Should we protect the environment? Absolutely.
See, we didn't protect the environment by building this big building.
Do you remember what was here? Nothing. It was just dust. Let me encourage you how much you have blessed the environment. You have, and I have, paid for 6,000 shrubs and plants to be planted on this property by order of the city. We didn't like make that up in some back room back here. Let's plant 6,000 plants. Oh no, it took people months in the city to come and say, this is what our calculations have concluded. You need to plant 6,000 plants. Okay? And 450 trees. Let me ask you, before this building was built, was there 450 trees on this property? Look, who needs the rainforest? We got one happening right here, man. When Jesus comes back, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 35:1, the wilderness and the wastelands shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice. That's so exciting. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice. There's a lot of desert in the world. And an underdeveloped, you know, a needle on a cactus, that needle, you know what it is? It's a blossom that never developed. Did you know that? You learned that in school, remember? It's a flower that never developed, and it's because it's of the cactus family, it's just a needle. Jesus is going to come back and say, deserts bloom. And wham, all of a sudden, man, everyone's going to be getting on their donkeys and heading out to the desert because the desert is going to be the most colorful place on the planet. Can you imagine the Sahara or Mojave? Oh, man. Death Valley is one of the most beautiful places on earth. It's a little hot, but man, is it beautiful. And if it exploded into life, could you imagine? Next time you look at a cactus, think about a cactus that all those little prickly things would be flowers. It would be an incredible bouquet. It would. Number 8, when Jesus Christ comes back in the second coming, he will govern over the nations of the world. The book of Zechariah tells us this in Zechariah 14:16-17. And it says, then those who live in the kingdom from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles. If, listen, this is during the millennium. This is fun. If any nation of the earth does not go up to worship the King in Jerusalem, the Lord Almighty will withhold rain from them. Little incentive to go worship. Isn't that fun? Think about it. If during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ from Jerusalem, if Egypt, it says, doesn't come up to worship the Lord, God's going to hold back the clouds from Egypt. I love that. I just love that. He's going to rule the nations. Number 9, he will reestablish Israel as his chosen people in his second coming. I love this. This drives liberal theologians nuts because they think Israel has no right to the land, that Israel is in fact a bunch of invaders, and that they're recent to the land of Israel and they have no rights. God says, oh yeah. Oh, please look this up later. Read Ezekiel chapter 36 and be blessed if you do not understand Israel's right to the land. God, when he returns in the second coming, will reestablish Israel as his chosen people. Isaiah 14:1 says, "For the Lord will have mercy upon Jacob, and he will yet choose Israel again and set them in their own land." Wow. Isaiah 43, that's another tremendous chapter. Isaiah chapter 43, God there says to the nations of the world, "Let my people go, allow them to come back into Israel. I'm going to reestablish them." And that's actually, we made it. That's actually the end. You say, well, shouldn't there be 10? There's 9, but if there's 10, how about this for number 10? In his second coming, Jesus Christ will come again because he already came the first time. So he has to come a second time. It says he'd come a second time. It's called the second coming. I want to leave you with this. Jesus Christ will reestablish Israel. He's doing it now. But once he returns, Israel will be the governing nation with the head capital of the world for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. And Israel will be given a border that was originally given to Abraham, only under the reign of Christ. Solomon came close to the promised dimensions of that state of Israel. Solomon came close, but not fully to the promises given to Abraham. Those dimensions will never be fulfilled until Jesus Christ sits upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. That's awesome. And here's another reason why. People, what's the answer to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? Are you ready? Here's the answer. Wake up and don't shout out any answers because you might be wrong and then you feel silly about it. Before Abraham ever touched any land that God had said was his, there were people living on it already, okay? People, listen. Even when God led Moses and the gang out from Egypt to the promised land, people, in a couple of months, we're going to get on an airplane and we're going to take a tour of the promised land. What do you think they called the promised land? Because that's where all my promises come true. That's not what it means. It's the promised land. You say, I don't get it. Yeah, you do. The flesh always resides first. The flesh was in Israel first. Oh, they were people with all kinds of crazy names. Tribes. They were tribal states. They were like, you know, nomadic peoples. The Perizzites and the Canaanites and all these parasites and Hittites and all these people lived in this. They lived there first. That's why Arafat and all those guys are saying, we were here first. Our descendants were here first. We're not going anywhere. You know what? He's right. His descendants, they were there first. In a sense, the flesh always comes first. The promise was given to a people of faith. God said, this is the land, I shall show you it, I will go before you and drive out the flesh from among you, leave none of it existing, because this is the land that I have promised unto you. Now for the Christian, you say, man, that makes sense, I got it. It's the life of faith that inherits the promises. When Israel comes into faith, the promised is the promised land in relationship with God. Wow, the flesh was first, but faith comes second. You were born once. You got to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. The promises. Hey, I see that. The answer is there's no answer until the Prince of Peace returns. Because the land has been promised to a people. But it's not yet time for all of its fulfillment to be enjoyed. That's why Christ has to come back. So are you with me? Do you understand that? The people who are saying it's our land, they are naturally saying it's our land. It's the flesh hanging on because it says, I was here first. Just like my flesh was here first and said, I don't want to be born again. I want to do drugs, alcohol, shoot people, rob banks. That's what the flesh likes to do. But the word of God went out and I got saved. And then the spirit was born again, my life. And then the flesh, you know, remember through the Bible and through following the Lord, the flesh has got to come into obedience to the spirit, you know, into the word of God. It's all by promise. The answer is, if you believe in God, the land is Israel's land. If you don't believe in the God of the Bible, then the land is not Israel's. That's the problem. Are you with me? The God of the Quran is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible has a name, and he constantly speaks about love. And he says, Israel, the land belongs to the Jewish people. The Quran says nothing of it, never mentions the word love, and you don't know who the name of the God is that's mentioned in the Quran. Did you know that? No, his name's Allah. His name's not Allah. Allah is Arabic for God. What's his name? Nobody knows. Our God wanted you to know his name so much that he sent his only begotten son here, that you might know him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called What Christians Believe About the Return of Jesus Christ. It's a look at one of the teachings in Scripture that is both an essential as well as one of the great hopes of our faith. In fact, so much so that What Christians Believe About the Return of Jesus Christ is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's greater set of topical studies called What Christians Believe. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this coming Sunday is something of a special Sunday, if you will, in churches across the United States. And Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is no exception. Pastor Jack's here to tell us about it. Pastor Jack?
Well, that's exactly right, Davey. And I am so excited to let all of you know about an extremely special Sunday morning and Sunday evening that we're going to be having here at Calvary. And I'd like all of you to just sit up right now and take a great bit of attention to what we're about to say. On Sunday, October 7th, which across the United States, mind you, will be nearly 2,000 pulpits that will be partaking in what is called Pulpit Freedom Sunday. And right here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, we have been part of the participants of the Pulpit Freedom Sunday, which simply means this, that we stand in defense of the Word of God. As the government increases its attack against our freedom of speech in the pulpits, maybe you're aware of it, maybe you're not, on October 7th, we're going to be taking an opportunity to do that. On those Sunday morning services here at Calvary, we're going to have Dr. Wayne Grudem speaking on the liberties and the freedoms of our pulpits and how pastors and churches can legally conduct themselves in the defense of the Word of God in a secular culture. Dr. Wayne Grudem comes with a tremendous host of endorsements and a profound education. You can look him up later at your own leisure, but Dr. Wayne Grudem will be here at 7:30, 9:30, and 11:45 with myself as we take on an amazing issue as we approach this upcoming election and how the pulpits of America need to be alive with the truth and clarions to our culture. And then that evening, Dinesh D'Souza and the movie 2016 will not only be shown here at Calvary beginning at 6 o'clock, but Dinesh D'Souza will be present. He'll be taking questions and answers, and there'll be a book signing to follow. And here's the stipulation. We are needing you, if you do come, to bring a canned food item for those that are in need. That is what Dinesh D'Souza is asking for. If people would come to see the movie and to hear him speak, will you please bring a canned good item to reach the poor? So mark your calendar, Sunday, October 7th, with Dr. Wayne Grudem, myself, at 7:30, 9:30, and 11:45, and then beginning at 6 o'clock in the evening, Dinesh D'Souza and his hit movie documentary, 2016, will show the movie, and then we'll have a time with Dinesh right here in the sanctuary, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. I look forward to seeing you here. An amazing, life-changing day. God bless you guys. Davey?
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. To learn more about Pulpit Freedom Sunday, visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. You'll know right where to point and click, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.